Bible tonight, and I want you to turn to John chapter 9. John chapter 9. Tonight again, we're going to talk, I think this is our last week on the subject of growth in the Christian life. John chapter number 9. Once you arrive at John chapter 9, why don't you look up this way, and I'm going to talk to you for a little bit, and then we'll read the scripture, and then we'll stand all together. John chapter 9, once you find it, look up here at me if you will. Many years ago, I was building an adult Sunday school class, and it was just for young married couples. And I had some men in my Sunday school class that they began to get on fire for God. And a couple of them worked at a steel company called Rayco Steel. And when that happened, they started witnessing to people at work. And as a result of it, they started a Bible study at work. And once a week, they would invite men to come to their lunch break, so it wasn't on the boss's time. And the men would come at that lunch break, and then they would have a Bible study time, and they would eat their lunch, and somebody would stand up and teach the Bible, and they began to watch people get saved. They had done it a couple times, and they said, Brother Owens, would you come out if the boss would let you? Would you come out, and would you speak at that time? So I did, and I told everybody, I said, I'm going to bring a bunch of homemade pie out with me, and you tell all the men in the factory that if they'll come, they're going to get some good old homemade cherry or apple pie. And we took cherry and apple pie. Hey, you want to get a man's attention, offer him food. And so, boy, it was fantastic. I was preaching. We were out on the dock where the big trucks would back in. There's about 45 men that came to that night, and the pieces of pie were about that big as a result of all those men showing up. But I got to talk to them, and here's what we did. I talked to them, and what was a little bit remarkable about it was that all these employees had come to hear what was going on, and then a bunch of the management came, and the bosses and the foremen came. And my intent now, I went there to talk to them about being better employees. And boy, you talk about, I had the attention of management. They just ate that up, that they had 40-some of their employees, and here's a guy from the outside coming in and telling them to be better employees. Now, at the end, we had a hook in there, and we had 22 men get saved that night. But management listened to me, and management said at the end of the night, said, you come back anytime, because I spent the night telling the men, you ought to work hard, you ought to be good employees. Now, tonight, I'm going to, the subject that we've been working on is a subject of growth in the Christian life. Tonight, I'm going to talk to you about how to grow at work. Now, this is what I challenged those men on that dock with that night. I'm going to tell you the outline that I used that night. Now, I've changed it, and I've added some things to it. Those men were a little smarter than you are. And so, no. But I'm going to show you what I told them. It won't take long. It's very practical. It's very down to earth. It wasn't too long after that I had printed this, and then I printed it and put it in one of my books, and I got a call from a company called Union Carbide. Any of you ever heard of the company Union Carbide? A CEO called me, and he said, someone gave me a page out of one of your books about being a successful employee. They said, we would like your permission if we could print that and distribute it to all of our employees. I think they had 3,500, 4,000 employees. Now, if you'll listen tonight, I'm going to say something very simple to you. To some of you, you're going to say, oh, I already know all that. You're going to say that. To some of you, there's some of it that I think should push a reset button for you. For the children and the teenagers, you better learn how to be a good employee. You better learn that, or somebody's going to have to carry you the rest of your life. You're going to need someone to pay your way and figure out how to take care of you. And God intended for you and I, if we're physically able, to be able to take care of ourselves. John chapter 9, if you will. I'm going to start with verse number 1. Now, let's all stand together. John chapter 9, starting with verse number 1, it says this. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me, while it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. And let me pray. Father, bless us tonight with thy presence. Might we be better Christians because of what's said here tonight. Father, help us be better citizens, better employees. May the young people grasp what's being taught. And may they someday succeed at work for Jesus' sake, for the testimony of the church, because of what they learn about work possibly tonight. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. You can have a seat there. In this passage of Scripture, Jesus meets a blind man on the roadside. His disciples ask him, he said, Did this man's sin cause his blindness? Did this man's parents' sin cause his blindness? And Jesus answered and he said, Neither one. It's not this man's sin. It's not this man's parents' sin. Jesus said, He's blind so that the works of God should be made manifest. Jesus is saying, God has a work that he wants to do. And so you know, there's all sorts of work that God wants to see done. And Jesus, I love what he said. Jesus said of himself, I must work the works of him that sent me. It's very obvious Jesus is for work. It's very obvious that you have to work at being a good worker. That's what he said. You've got to work the works. Here's the problem with American society. They play the works. My mama called it piddling around. They piddle at work. Jesus is saying God hath provided work. Now I must be responsible to do it. Jesus said, I must work the works. In other words, there was a work to be done, but somebody had to apply themselves so that work got accomplished. It's almost as if he was saying God was the employer and we are the employees and we are to work the work. And in this story, Jesus spat on the ground and he made some clay and he placed it on the blind man's eyes and that man's eyes were restored. Now, when I was young, I learned to work. My parents required me to learn to work. And every parent in here, if you don't teach your children to work, you're cheating them in life. If you do everything for them, you're cheating them in life. They need to learn to work. They need to learn to be responsible. They need to learn to work together with other people. They need to learn to work unchaperoned. They need to learn to work hard. My grandfather, he laid stone. He was a mason. He laid stone and built beautiful homes. And when I was a young man, I used to work with my grandfather. And I'll tell you, that's hard work. When you're hauling the stones around and you buy ready mixed cement from a cement mixer. My granddad didn't know a whole lot about that. We mixed everything in a wheelbarrow with a hoe, and you had to learn how to mix the right amount of sand and the right amount of water and the right amount of cement and mortar, and you had to learn how to do all that. Now, when I was a young man, I started my own mowing business. I would mow yards, and I gave it a name, and I went door to door, knocking on doors and trying to earn money. I worked at a place called Ace Hardware for a while, and that was a really neat place because I got a paycheck that was actually printed on a real check. And I was so proud of that. They were taking taxes out. I was so excited. I wanted them to take more taxes out because I thought it looked cool on my paycheck. I don't feel that way anymore. I worked at a place called Glass Equipment Engineering. How many of you have ever heard of what ball jars? They use ball jars for canning. I used to make parts, and we worked for the company that produced ball jars. Now, when I was at home, and young people, parents, you do what you want about this, but when I was at home, I was required to work at home. I mean, I was required to work at home. And one day, I heard a term at school that I'd never heard before. The term was allowance. I'm like 15, and this kid said, I'm spending my allowance. I said, what's an allowance? And he said, well, it's what I get for doing the work I do around the house. I said, how do you do that? I went home and I told my dad, I said, Dad, I want my allowance. He said, son, I have a question for you. Do you live here? I said, yes, sir. He said, do you eat here? I said, yes, sir. He said, do you sleep here? I said, Dad, you know I do. He said, do you want to continue to do those things? I said, yes, sir. He said, a man earns his keep. He said, I'm not going to let you live here, sleep here, and eat here, and never do anything. Now, some of you that have two-year-olds are going to strap them to a plow, and you're going to try to make them work, and you're ridiculous, and they're not ready for that yet. But I am going to tell you, they don't have to be real old to know how to pick up their room and to help out around the house. And if you're not careful, you're going to raise a welfareite, where it's everybody else's job to take care of them, and you'll regret that. And you young people, you say, well, I don't really like this. You're already soured then. You're already soured. You know, my parents made work fun. It was a challenge, but I liked it. Now, folks, we need to learn to work. I think we keep your kids in church where they can learn lessons like this. If you have teenagers, try not to have them working during church services. They don't have to support a family. They're not making a mortgage payment. Now, an adult that for some reason has to go work and miss a church service, that's one thing. But a teenager? Why does a teenager have to miss church to earn money? Now, you're going to have to adjust yourself. But I worked at a place called Task Force Innovation Tips when I was in Bible college. And through the years, I've had lots and lots and lots of different jobs. And what I want to do is, now I'm going to share with you, as I said earlier, it's a brief outline that I preached to a group of men on a dock at a steel company, and I used it to challenge them to be better workers. Everybody ought to grow in regard to their relationship with work and the work ethic. And honestly, for your boss's sake, you say, I don't like the economy. Well, you might be a part of the problem because the economy suffers when people won't work hard. Now, here we go. Number one, the first point is get up in the morning. Get up in the morning. Proverbs 6:9 says, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Look, if you don't get up in the morning, you're going to show up for work late. And I might recommend to you, some of you conquer this thing of turning the alarm off. Isn't it a weird thing? The best sleep known to man comes after the alarm goes off. That alarm goes off and you're thinking, now the next 15 minutes, I don't know if it is that you're suddenly aware that you're getting this extra sleep. I don't know what's going on. But you know, the snooze button, you say, that's my friend. No, it's really your enemy. If you're not careful, you will ruin yourself by not getting up when you ought to get up. Get up in the morning. Get up early enough to prepare for a successful day. If you're one of those people that get up at the last minute when you go into work, you haven't brushed your teeth, you got a cowlick in the back of your head, you got two different colored socks on, you know, your pant leg is tucked into one boot, not into the other, because you're not even awake yet, it might be good that your boss get you with a brain already kicked in gear when you come to work. It wouldn't hurt. Get up. Get your mind alert. Get your body alert. Don't walk into church with your Spider-Man pajamas on, half asleep. In Jonah chapter 1, verse number 8, the story of Jonah when he's on a ship. Do you know what? When Jonah was on that ship, he to escape conviction, he went to the bottom of the ship and went to sleep. Do you know what his nickname is according to the scripture in the Bible? They called him Sleeper. Sleeper. To me, that's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. Hey, and that's, folks, one of the keys to being a good employee is get up, get going, so you can be to work on time and ready to work. And let me say this. We have some successful people in here. You're self-employed. You are, to, for all practical purposes, you're your own boss. Now, let me tell you what you do. What you do is you set a time to go to work, set a time to get up, then make yourself get up then and go to work then. You won't be self-employed. You won't be your boss, your own boss for long if you can't boss yourself. So you let your schedule dominate what you do. There's nobody in the world that tells me to get up. I haven't had anybody tell me to get up and to go to work for a long time. I have been my own boss for a long time. Jeff Owens makes Jeff Owens get up in the morning and go to work. The church didn't say to me, now you need to make sure you go to work. They don't say that to me. I say that to me. And so, get up. Get up. Number two, show up. Show up. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 17 says, for there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. Folks, when I say show up, I mean show up on time. Not 15 minutes late. Not 15 seconds late. Which means you have to leave in time to be there on time. So it's not just the arrival time that's important, it is departure time. And a lot of you could get rid of some chaos in your life if you would just pick what time is the right time to depart. Do you know that when I went to the airport today, they had for me a departure time? They didn't say, see when you get here. We'll try to get you to New Bern by 4. Show up, you know. Try to work us in. No, I had to be there at the right departure time so I could get the right arrival time. Too many of you work on arrival time. You need to work on departure time. Then you won't be late for everything. Some of you are habitually late. 5 minutes late all the time. If you just move your day back 5 minutes, you could be on time all the time. But if you move your day back 5 minutes, you'd still be late because it's not a time thing, it's a character thing. But first of all, you got to get up in the morning. Then what? Yeah, you got to show up at work. I believe it's a good idea to show up a few minutes early and get ready to succeed. I've had lots of employees for a long, long time, and the ones that come in on a wing and a prayer and their car door still standing open in the parking lot because they didn't take the time to shut it. You know, and they're swinging by the time clock just trying to zip it in there and get... Those don't impress me. They don't impress me. And some of you, you've got it timed out. You say, okay, it takes me 15 minutes to get to work if all the lights are green. Some of that thinking is just very poor thinking. I got it all charted out. If Mr. So-and-so across the street is backing out of his driveway the same time I am, I'm going to be late because I needed that 3-second break that his car being in the road would cause me. I'd recommend that you try to be on time, and I mean a little earlier. Could your children get a job where you're currently employed based on your promptness? If the only thing that they looked for in your reputation was how prompt you were, could your child be hired where you work? And I might recommend this. I don't think you ought to take off work every chance you get. You can't. You know, I know people that can't pay their bills, but every time you turn around, they don't go to work. And I might recommend this to you. You're not supposed to lie about being sick. You know that lying is wrong. You've heard that, haven't you? That's biblical. I know a man, his name is Dick Ord, one of the finest men you ever meet in your life. He worked at the same place for 34 years, 5 sick days in 34 years. Someone said to him, said, you only sick 5 times? He said, no, only 5 times I was so sick I couldn't drag myself in. Now, some of you are whiny and you won't like what I'm about to say, but my philosophy always was, you don't call in, you crawl in. Now, you know who believes that the strongest? These men that are successful, that own businesses, the ones that are paying the paycheck. When you're writing the check, they say, amen to that. And some of you, You need to learn. You're going to succeed. You know, some people have made enough money to succeed. They just didn't go get it because they missed too much work. So, number one, get up. Number two, show up. Number three, hurry up. Hurry up. Colossians 3:23 says, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." I believe this. I don't believe unsaved people ought to be outworking saved people. We have God as our Father. We have the Holy Spirit as our guide. It shouldn't be that the flunkies that are lost, they're smoking dope and tooting coke and getting drunk and whoring around, they shouldn't be outworking you. Your clean life ought to result in something. Plus, you ought to have a work ethic. And it's scriptural. Look for ways to be productive. That's why they hired you. You know, they didn't hire you because they had some extra money to throw away. They hired you to get something out of you. Producers, people that are truly productive in life, can virtually always get a job. They can virtually always get a job. Why? They're productive. If you can make money for somebody, there's always somebody that wants to make money. That's just the way it is. Look, if you flip hamburgers, flip a lot of them. If you move boxes, move a lot of them. If you process words or type words, if you will, type a lot of them. You say, well, the people at work would like me if I worked hard. What about God? What about being honest? What about working hard? You know, I just don't understand people. People that are hiding and they're trying to figure out a way not to be busy and not to work. That doesn't make sense. A newspaper reporter one day said to an employer, "Well, how many people work here?" That's what the newspaper reporter said to a boss. "How many people work here?" And the boss said, "Oh, about half of them." Give your boss some high quality work. And I know, again, to some of you, this isn't going to make sense. Did you know you're supposed to be tired at the end of the day? Did you know that? You're supposed to be tired? Some of you young people, if you work hard enough, your hands, there's a thing that's called a blister. Google it. Google it. And look at one. Go to a medical site and take a look at a thing called a blister. There are people in this room who never had a blister. Calluses are proof of hard work. So if you, we need to hurry up and not be lazy at work. We need to show up, and that means on time and when we're supposed to be there. Now, there'll be times when you'll be too sick to go, but most of the time you need to be showing up. And you're not going to get any of that done unless you just get up in the morning. Number four, shut up. Work! Proverbs 14:23 says, "In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury." People talk too much at work. You need to stop wasting company time. The boss should not have to correct you all the time because you're always talking and not doing your job. And I'll also recommend that you not be going around talking negatively about your boss all the time. There's just people that do nothing but gripe about the boss and gripe about the shop rules. And you might say, "Well, I'll just tell my union steward on you, Brother Owens." Well, you can tell your union steward on me because it doesn't bother me a lick. I think people are supposed to go to work and they're supposed to show up and they're to be on time and they're to work hard. And I also believe that they shouldn't, you know, we talk about not being negative around the church. Boy, I would not want a bunch of employees that did nothing but stand around and stab me in the back and gripe all the time. And some of you, I'm sure you do it because that's your nature. You're just negative. You gripe about everything. And then when the raises are passed out, you wonder why you didn't get one. Well, you stab me in the back and then expect me to give you more money for it? You want me to buy you a bigger knife? That didn't make sense to me. don't talk bad about the other employees. All you do then is stir up disunity at work. You say, I just can't stand being around there. Those people, well, you know what? If you wouldn't have stirred up so many negatives at work, maybe the place would be a little happier place to work. When you're being scolded, can I teach you something? If you're being corrected, have you ever thought about being humble and taking it? And apologizing? And admitting you were wrong? But you know what pride says? Come on. I'll fight you. Be careful. So many times we just need to shut up and go to work. Don't be a complainer. I'm going to tell you something that will help you. I wouldn't go around telling everybody how much money you make. I wouldn't tell everybody whether you got a raise or not, when you get a bonus. You know how much chaos that sort of thing causes at work? When you get a raise and somebody else didn't get one, somebody's going to spit in your coffee, bud. You might be better off just thanking God for it. And in this day and age, you better be careful texting while you're supposed to be at work, or on your cell phone while you're supposed to be at work, or abusing your internet privileges while you're supposed to be at work. So we ought to shut up. And I'm not trying to be rude. It just goes with the rest of my out loud. Shut up. Go to work. Number five. Oh, you'll like this one. Grow up. Grow up. 1 Corinthians 13:11 says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. I want to recommend, now I don't think there's anything wrong having fun and there's being some humor at work, but I tell you this, sometimes practical jokes can cost the boss a lot of money. I've watched some practical jokes at some of the factories that I've worked at that cost the boss hundreds, sometimes thousands of dollars, where guys were goofing off and they did things they shouldn't have done, and I've watched vehicles wrecked, and I've watched machines crashed, I've watched parts scrapped. That kind of fun, we just need to grow up. That's for the playground, that's for the gymnasium, but you got to be careful at work tearing up the boss's stuff. Remember again, I know this to some of us is a new concept. You're to be making money for the boss. That's why you're there. When you don't work hard, so you know, it hurts your reputation. Also, if you don't work hard, eventually it hurts a church reputation. Listen, I want people, when they say, where do you go to church? And you say, Twin Rivers Baptist Church, I want them to say, is everybody out there that hard of a worker? Or when somebody says, where do you go to church? And they say, is everybody as lazy as you? Does everybody avoid work like you? Does everybody gripe and complain like you? Does everybody have a reason why they can't work like you? I don't want people comparing the negative to our church. It's God's reputation. I have to tell you, for some of you, you'd been miserable growing up in my house with my dad. I put my hands in my pocket. My dad said, get your hands out of your pocket. Constantly. I'll tell you why. My dad wanted me to be ready. He wanted me to be ready to work. He said, son, how in the world can you have so much time to have your hands in your pocket? Take your hands out of your pocket. And I'm glad he taught me that. What he was saying was, get your hands out and get busy. Do something. Folks, grow up. If you're one of the people that hide from the management and hide from your supervisor, I worked in factories. I used to supervise a lot. I could see them back in the parts department. They're hiding from me, thinking that I couldn't see them. Hiding in the break room. Someone goes to the bathroom and they're there for 27 minutes. I'm thinking, you need the hospital is what you need. If you needed to be in there for 27 minutes. And those of you that have people that work for you, you know what I'm saying. You know that's how it is. Hey, grow up and don't be one of those whiners at work all the time. Well, somebody else got it and I didn't get it. I thought that when we were four or five, our parents were correcting that and trying to get us not to be doing that all the time, whining about everything. Hey, learn your job so your boss doesn't have to babysit you all the time. Think on your own. On your own. Learn to look for what needs to be done next. My father told me, and I went to work in my first factory when I was 16. We had a trades course in our high school, And I took three metals classes in high school, two woods classes. Anything's better than English. And but then I got to go to work in a factory in a machine shop when I was 16. And my dad said to me, he said, "Son, you know what your last name is?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Don't you go into that factory and give our family a bad name. You go in there and work." He said, "I'll tell you something else. If your boss gives you something to do and you get it done, and you can't find him, and you don't know what to do next, you go find a broom, and you sweep every inch of that place. Then you go pick up all the trash. You don't sit around like this. Where's the boss? He better come find me if he wants any more out of me." He said, "Get it done, and if you run out, create something that's productive, but don't just sit around." More than one time, when the boss wasn't around, I pushed a broom. Grow up and become responsible. Number six, push up. Push up. Exodus 17:12 says, "But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and one on the other." I just wish, and I'm not going to belabor this for a long time, I wish there was more loyalty to leadership at work. You know, I'll tell you all this. When I work, my father taught me to respect the leadership. My dad taught me to respect the manager and respect the boss and respect the leader and respect the supervisor. You know, I'm a grown man, and you could talk to anybody that I've ever worked for. When I was 30, I still said yes sir and no sir to my bosses. Now, some of you, you're above that. But I still, to this day, if I work with or for someone, I'll say yes, sir, and no, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and please, and thank you. That pays off in the end. You do what's right, it pays off. Y'all remember when we started raising money for our building? Remember the man that owned the company that I worked for years, wrote us a $50,000 check? And I know you're going to think I'm bragging. I'm not. He said, "You are known as the best working man that's ever come through one of my companies." He said, "Consider it a bonus." You know what I recently found out? Word got around his company that he gave me $50,000 for my church. He said, "Production is increasing." But you know, he didn't give that to me when I was a backstabber at work and always griping about the boss. He knew that I appreciated my job. He knew. Do you know, for 10 years after I left that secular job, every Thanksgiving I wrote him a one-page letter and sent it to him. 10 years after I left, every year I wrote him a letter and I said, "Thank you for helping me to feed my family for the years that I worked for you. It's Thanksgiving time and I've never forgotten what you did for me." You know what? I don't think he forgot either. Push up. Learn some loyalty. Be a good follower at work. Be a leadership builder, not a destroyer. And I'm not saying we have to approve of their sin. I never mean that. But I think sometimes we get this idea, my boss is lost, so it's okay that I'm a jerk toward my boss. That's not what the Bible teaches. You're to work hard at work. And there's areas that you can definitely show respect to the boss. So you get up. You show up, you hurry up, you shut up, you grow up, and you push up. You say, what'll come? You'll probably move up. You'll probably move up. People that work like that, they move up in life. They move up in life. And I don't think that we ever ought to be full of pride, but I think Jesus ought to be proud of us. Let it be said that the people, whether they be children, teenagers, or adults, the people that attend the Twin Rivers Baptist Church, hey, they don't only have religion at church. They have a religious work ethic at work. I'll never forget. I taught this on that dock with 40, 45 steel workers, and I watched management. They just loved it. In the end, I gave the gospel. We had some people get saved. And I'll tell you this, you get around, you know, I'll tell you, in the steel mills, you didn't have a lot of sissy britches men. Yeah, there weren't a bunch of effeminate men. And you know what I learned it took? If you wanted to win a man to Christ that you were cutting steel with and welding with, you had to work hard or he did not appreciate you. A wimp had no respect. I'll tell you all something. Hard work is impressive. And by the way, it's influential. And even if it wasn't, you're supposed to do it anyway. You're supposed to do it anyway. Again, the lesson is simple. I'm done. How to grow at work. You do this. You get up. You show up. You hurry up. You shut up. You grow up. You push up. And you'll move up. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, I wish you'd get born again. If you died tonight and you're not sure you'd go to heaven, you need to be born again. If you're like that, in a moment we're gonna have what's called an old-fashioned altar call. In a moment, I'll give people a chance to come and pray. If you're not sure if you die today, you go to heaven. If you'll come, we'll let someone take a Bible and show you how to be saved. If you're a man, I'll have a gentleman show you in the Bible quickly how to be saved. If you're a lady, I'll have a lady show you how to be saved. But if you're not saved, you ought to get saved tonight. If you're a Christian, or not, if you're under the sound of my voice tonight, why don't you take a look at your Bible and see what God would expect of us in regard to doing the work that God gave us. Jesus said, I must work the works. In other words, there was a responsibility, but he had to work at accomplishing the work. It wasn't lazy. It wasn't casual. It wasn't flippant. He said, on purpose, I'm going to behave a certain way while I work. And that is exactly what's being taught there. Who here tonight would say, preacher, I've been challenged. Maybe we've pushed the reset button. Some of you heard something for the first time. Some of you are being reminded of something. Some of you young people, you're saying, I've never heard anything like that before. Well, it's in the Bible. Who here tonight would say, God has definitely spoken to my heart tonight. I learned something that I can use in my life. And you'll raise your hand and let God see it. I learned something. I can use it. I can better myself. Amen. We're going to have an altar call. In a second, the pianist will play. In a moment, we'll stand. If you need to come to the altar, you come. Some of you need to come and pray and say, Lord, I got to start working harder. Some of you young people, you fight mom and dad when they try to teach you to work. You need to come down here and say, God, forgive me. And if mom and dad require you to work, thank God for it. Just thank God for it. Some of you, you're a little backslidden about your work. You're a little backslidden. Hey, and I'll tell you this. You say, preacher, I'm disabled. Well, that doesn't give you a right to be lazy. There is something that everybody can do. Now, if you're disabled, you might not be able to do what someone can do that's not disabled, but you are to do what you can do, just like I'm to do what I can do. I'm not to compare myself to you or you to me, but you better compare yourself to you and make sure you're doing everything you can. The pianist will begin to play at this time. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need a moment at the altar? Do you need to come and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I do goof off a little bit too much at work. God's not getting everything out of me. The boss is not getting out of me what he ought to. I need to maybe a different attitude at home when mom and dad try to get me to work. It is an honor to work. It's a privilege to have a job. It's a wonderful thing. We live in a country where we can earn money. And as a result of it, we can buy houses and cars. We have so many luxuries. Well, you work for them. But you know, if we couldn't even have all those luxuries, you know, we're still supposed to work and we're still supposed to do it right. Right now, young people, you might not have a lot of jobs, but hey, work hard at school. Work at your schoolwork. It'll help you. Work hard. Some of you need to go to mom and dad and just ask what you can do to help around the house. I'll never forget the conversation. You live here? Yes, sir. You eat here? Yes, sir. You sleep here? Yes, sir. You want to continue doing that? Yes, sir. Then you go to work. Now, parents, if you choose to give your children allowance, that's fine. There's a way that they can learn to handle their money and let them earn it fairly. Never happened in my house. One more time through the song. Now, some of you need to be careful you don't take it too far. There's some people at work all the time never come to church. You've gone the wrong direction. That's not as big a threat, usually.